Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
The big news, as I said, the NBA draft was yesterday, and the big news of the draft, no surprise, but the number one pick,
the Zion train.
And are you saying he may not be, well, not may not, we don't know, but he's not better than R.J. Barrett? Like, I thought it was just his play that put him ahead of R.J. Barrett last year.
I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think so. I think it was the social media hype. You know, I mean, he's got millions of followers. But to me, I've seen him play because I was on the AAU circuit with him with Adidas, and it was like, hey, he's really talented, but, you know, one, the high school he was playing in, South Carolina, there weren't a lot of talent out there. And so right. When he got on the circuit playing against guys his size or bigger, he struggled. And then when I saw him in college, I was like—
Now he struggled even as a senior?
In high school, yes.
Okay, throughout
high
school.
In the AAU circuit as a senior. But— He really shined at Duke, but again, I did that with some trepidation because I was saying, well, he's got R.J. Barrett, he's got Cam Reddish, he's got Jones, he's got a bunch of guys, and he's playing for Duke. So, of course, he's going to shine. I'm looking forward to it, you know, to see how he comes
out.
You
sound skeptical.
I'm very skeptical. I watch films of him. Okay, if the game is just going to go up and down, he's going to destroy everybody. But at some point in time, he's going to have to shoot the ball. And right. I don't like his release, you know? I just don't like the way his hand does that C motion. And to me, that's going to be a problem, especially when you get tired and get – and it's a little bit more physical in the NBA than it is in college, contrary to popular belief.
Well, what you said, I definitely felt the same way going into last year. I actually thought he was going to get exposed because there was, even though he wasn't the top player in the country, it was R.J. Barrett, he still, you know, all the dunks. Everybody had seen his dunks on YouTube and all that, and there was this hype surrounding him. So I thought he was going to get exposed because, as you said, he didn't have an outside shot. Instead, he, of course, shined, and I do like him, Olden. Here's a few of the things I like about him. First, I'll talk about his game, and then I'll go into the intangibles. And do you know him personally from Adidas and all that?
Yeah, I've spoken to him and all that, and I met his family, but, you know, it's just in passing kind
right.
of thing.
But, okay, so his game. Obviously, he's not a great jump shooter. I don't think the J is broken. And I do think he can develop a good jump shot because I think he's got a good work ethic and a good attitude.
Yes.
Now, you look at Blake Griffin. Now, it was a different time, but Blake averaged less than 1 3-point shot a game his first 6 years in the league. Last year, he took 7 threes a game. So if Blake Griffin can add a jumper, a 3-point shot, I definitely think Zion can because he's not where Blake was when he came out of college, which was much worse as far as
Blake's jump shot is 8 years after the fact.
Right, but I'm saying I think Blake just began working on it in the last few years because the NBA has changed and it necessitated that. Zion, because of where the NBA is now, he'll be working on that from day one. So I do think he'll develop. We've seen Jason Kidd. We've seen other players develop pretty good
shots.
We've
had a lot of people that couldn't really shoot the basketball. The problem is
become good shooters.
Unfortunately, the way of the NBA is all about making jump shots. You know, it's about shooting shots. Three-pointers have taken over. So he's not going to have a lot of opportunity to just put his head down and get to the basket. Granted, he's going to have moments. He's going to have those moments, especially as a rookie. But my point is, he has to develop. It's going to have to come sooner rather than later, you know, because there's so many high expectations. You may or may not agree with this, but in my personal opinion, LeBron's the only guy that actually has come out in his first year, and you are like, oh, my God, this kid is special, like special.
Well, he's the only player to come out of high school and average 20, like tear the league up.
Period.
Kevin Garnett averaged 10,
high school, college,
Kobe
doesn't matter.
Seven. Well, Durant averaged maybe 20-ish, somewhere around there when he first came
out.
They didn't win, but LeBron didn't win. Carmelo came out of college after 1 year and led Denver to the playoffs.
It's still a struggle for a lot of guys. And the point is, Zion, again, I love the kid. I think he's one of the nicest people you're going to meet. You know, even like I said, on the circuit, you could see how genuine he was. Just right. A really good kid. So I'm not talking about any of that. Everything I'm talking about is based on basketball.
Well, and here's one area I disagree with you on the basketball. As you said, the game is about jump shooting now. However, you know the floor is more spread out than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it, to me, especially we'll talk about this later, but you don't have the dominating bigs at the rim protecting the rim like you used to. You got a few guys that protect the rim, but not like you used to. I think it's easier than ever to get to the basket.
No, it's not.
Why not? If the floor is spread,
look at LeBron.
All he's got to
let's look at LeBron. No, he does not. Stop telling that fib, Chris. No, he does not.
Zion's got quick first step. He'll be living in the paint.
No, he doesn't. LeBron
and
doesn't
finishing over
listen. LeBron
makes a living.
LeBron had hard times when Steph Curry jumped out and switched on him. Stop it. No, come on, man. The kid is gonna be good. Okay.
Well, he better be able to get to the rim in his first years, and they're going to run. Look at the team New Orleans put together.
Oh, yeah. They've got a nice running squad.
Right.
And they're going to lose. But, hey, they're going to run. Like I said, he's going to perform. He's going to get his dunks and, you know, da-da-da's and all that stuff. So I'm not saying he's not going to get any of that. My point is, as a number one, the expectations are way higher than number 10, number 15.
Right.
You know, or even number 2 and 3. The expectation is just that much higher because you are the number one guy. Everything about this draft was based on Zion Williamson and nobody else. We didn't care about anybody else other than Zion. So it's just high expectation. I hope he succeeds and surpasses them all, but it's going to be a struggle for him.
I would think you like this. I think this is an old school element of his game. Unlike the overwhelming majority of young stars, he doesn't have to dominate the ball.
No,
right? Last year,
right,
he got his 22-9 off the ball. RJ was dominating the ball. Trey Jones had it. Cam didn't dominate it, but he had it at times. But I think that'll enable him, Zion, to blend in more with an offense.
But the difference is now we're doing this for money.
Right, right.
So other guys are going to want to get the ball too now. So there's going to be
those
issues.
One guy I wonder, because look, you're going to have Lonzo at the point, Drew Holiday at the two. You'll have Brandon
for now.
And Zion.
Look, for now.
Meaning Drew?
All of them. For now.
Well, that's a nice, I like their little young squad.
But like
now,
I said, for now.
I think they may go after Al Horford in free agency. They got about $30 million to spend. I'm not a huge Al Horford fan. I think he's a great professional.
So they go after Al Horford. So now who comes off the bench? Because Al Horford's not going to come off the bench.
No, Al Horford's the center.
Okay.
Zion's at the four.
So
if
now
you call
Julius Randle's coming off the bench.
Well,
so now he's upset.
If they keep Randle, they might let Randle go. He's a free agent.
All right.
They might let him go. So you start Zion, Al Horford. If
you
they
can't keep both
Brandon
of them, they both similar players.
Julius
and Zion.
Okay, well then you know which one's out the door. That's Julius. It ain't Zion. Now
you got two players that play the same position, pretty much same style of game.
The one guy I wonder about in that is Ingram, because he started to come into his own last year after the All-Star break. Can he play with Zion?
That's going to be the question.
That's the question I do have. I will say that.
That's going to be the question, and that's going to have to be answered because he has to establish himself. He just got traded from the Lakers. He has to establish himself. So he's going to need the ball quite a bit to establish himself. And it's almost like his mentality is going to be like, I got traded for Anthony Davis, so now I'm the new Anthony Davis.
Ooh. That's where I think – a Kuzma would have fit better with Zion than Ingram, because Kuzma, even though he shoots a lot, he doesn't have to dribble before he shoots. You know what I mean? He can just catch and shoot.
Yeah.
He's not Klay Thompson, obviously. But as far as not needing the ball a lot to get up shots, that's what you're going to need next to Zion. But I do tend to believe he's going to be great. So, okay, if I ask you right now, who's going five let's say 7 years from now, who's the best player in this draft?
Ooh, 7 years from now.
You might think RJ.
I'm thinking RJ Barrett. I'm definitely thinking RJ Barrett. And I'm also thinking.
Part of that's because you're from New York.
No.
You know deep down inside, you want the Knicks to be get it right.
For some reason, you know why I keep having Kevin Porter Jr. in my head as a guy that's going to like really shock a lot of people in his development.
It would shock a lot of people.
Because his game definitely fits the NBA game. And so
that would be shocking.
He might end up being in the conversation in a few years.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Oh my God.
Time now for The Odd Couple Celebrity Corner.
All right, we are excited about today's guest. He is a hip-hop legend.
Yes,
I like him, too, because he's a thinker and just a great artist, philanthropist, and activist. David Banner, what's happening, man?
Oh, man, what's happening? Hey, bro, I want to tell you something funny, bro. You hit me in my DM, bro, and I didn't know specifically that it was for your show. So when you said that, I started panicking. I was like, bro, I don't remember saying that. What we doing? I hope I ain't booked that day. And then she reminded me that I had already said, yeah. I didn't even know.
I was like, is that why you ignored me? Like,
I was panicking, bro. I was like, oh, bro, I hope I ain't double booked, bro.
Nah, man. It's great to have you on, man. Now, look, obviously we coming off the NBA draft. Are you a big sports fan number one and basketball fan number two?
Well, I'm a big basketball fan. Very, very big basketball fan. Some of these celebrities out here can tell you about my down low elbow game.
Oh, you nice. Your game is nice. We need to see you in the celebrity game at All-Star Weekend.
Hey, I'm gonna tell you something funny, man. I was out in LA and I won Magic Johnson's celebrity basketball game, and somebody stole my TV. I was supposed to get a big old TV. The West Side Boys took that TV. it's usually me. Like I would put me, Snoop, and Game up against any celebrity.
Really?
Any celebrity group? Me, Snoop, and Game, easy.
You know what? That would be a great idea. Well, it's already been broached. Should they let 9 players in the big three?
Yeah.
Maybe for like just a 1 all-star game or something, but that's tough to go against the ex-NBA guys. But that'd be nice. All right, so your game is nice.
Hey, DB, this is Olden Polynes here. Now, are you saying you Snoop and Game, what, to playing basketball or the knowledge of basketball?
No, playing basketball. Easy.
Okay.
Did you play in high school? Easy.
Yeah, I played in high school.
Okay. What was your game like?
At the time, bro, I couldn't do nothing but dunk on folks. It was funny. I had a Tom Chambers off 1 foot, 2-hand dunk. I don't know why I could jump really high off one, but I didn't have a vertical game. I don't even know if that was physically possible, but I guess it was. Because I was good off one leg. I could dunk over people of any size, but off the vertical, I didn't have much of a vertical game.
Okay. So you are from Jackson, Mississippi, right in the middle of Memphis and Baton Rouge, or let's say New Orleans in this point because of the New Orleans Pelicans. So which team – are you a fan of one of those teams?
So it's funny, bro, and I actually have history, so I don't want to hear everybody's mouth. I'm actually a Golden State fan.
Yeah, oh, you got to explain that because you've been a Golden State fan for 5-6 years, right?
So watch this. No. Watch this. Very, very good friend of mine is named Baron Davis.
Oh, okay.
And I used to go out and see Baron Davis when he played for Golden State. Really good friend. Still a very, very, very good friend of mine. Then Monty Ellis is from Jackson, Mississippi.
Right.
So then he went to Golden State, and it sort of just kept everything, like that whole friendship and that whole him being from the crib sort of trailed until stuff really started popping. Because It's funny, and I want to say something that I've never heard anybody say in history about Golden State. If people complain about Golden State being stacked, but until KD got there, none of those players were predicted to be that good.
True.
Draymond was too small. You know all the stuff they said about Steph. Klay was a good shooter, but nobody ever expected him to be one of the greatest shooters of all time. So for me, it's like people complain, and that just came together, and them boys worked hard, and still as good as they are, some of it, it didn't translate so much this time because of the injuries, but to see people who are that good, that love passing the ball that much, you see it go around sometimes five times. And in today's NBA, you don't see that much.
That's true. That's a great analysis. We are joined, the Odd Couple, by hip-hop legend David Banner.
Hey, David. Did you watch the draft last night?
No, I'm fasting right now. I was a little bit out of it last night,
okay,
bro. I got in the bed as soon as I got home. I was so hungry.
You said, let me sleep it off, right?
Well, I asked this question to say this. One of the things that I really appreciate about you is, you know, mm-hmm. of all your accolades is the fact that you are an activist like myself, yeah. you know, being the only athlete to ever do a hunger strike. So, but – one of the things that I noticed last night, and I wanted to get your take on this. Mm-hmm. Of all the players getting drafted, it was the showing of them with their fathers, you
yes.
know, and being able to see young black men with their fathers right mm-hmm. there being a critical part of their lives.
Yes. But that was powerful, man. And something that I like about these kids, and some people complain about it, like these kids' relationships with each other. I do think once you get on the court, all of that goes aside. But I like the fact that men in general and the camaraderie that you saw last night, even how they tried to play two team members together for one of them being so happy that he went earlier
right.
in the draft.
Kobe
man.
White, yep.
Yeah,
and Cam
Johnson. Like for me, camaraderie and for us showing. Now, I hope we go from the to us being able to get some of these high school players to go to HBCUs, because for me, I we can change the texture. One of my friends coached one of the best point guards in recent history, and I don't want to call the player's name because then they'll trace him back, the coach back. But the coach told me that this guy was this guy in high school. Even he went to college 1 year because he had to, but there was nothing that any coach could have done for him, white or black. He was who he was when he was in high school. Mm. And some of the – if think about one generation
right.
of these children going to HBCUs 1 year, what that would do for the texture of black colleges, when in actuality – it wasn't too long ago when they wouldn't even let us on their campuses, bro.
That's a great point. And I agree. Like, if you're going, like Zion Williamson, if you know you're one and done, you can go to Howard or Morehouse
yeah.
or whatever, you know, school yeah, Hampton for 1 year. And think yeah. of then your team is put on television. You're making mm-hmm. the NCAA tournament most likely. And that money could really go to build up the academic programs at those schools.
That's a hell of a
So that
point.
Would be – let me ask you this, David.
Yeah.
LeBron James, we know what he's doing off the court. Kevin Durant's mm-hmm. doing some great stuff as well. And Steph mm-hmm. Curry is as well. He's got the movie, the documentary Emmanuel about the mm-hmm. nine, you know, blacks at the church in Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church that got, you know, the white supremacists went in and shot him a few years right. ago. What do you think about what these athletes are beginning to do off the court, and what else would you like to see them do?
But what I'll say is I'll give a sweeping statement, because what I believe is it's the dexterity of the man. A lot of people, I tell people this all the time. One of the reasons why I'm at a point now where I speak in front of, I've headlined and did public speaking for over 300,000 people. before. And I think what it is, I'm not saying anything different than the Honorable Louis Minister Farrakhan or Malcolm or Martin or Marcus Garvey. The thing that amazes people, young people, is that I navigated myself well through white supremacy and came back for my people. For the most part, when I see especially the NBA cares and stuff like that, I never see these people in a or they never allow us, not saying that these people don't go back, but they never allow us to see our skin up against our skin, us helping our children. Like, that's what's important to me. For some reason, they have convinced black people that being around, because I see that as an actor. When you're able to do an A-list movie, and then if you want to go back and do an independent black film, that's frowned upon. Why? I want to be around my people.
Right.
I just want to see black skin up against black skin. I want to see, you know, not just people doing it, but I want people to see, because I'll tell you something that my one of my best friends in the world lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he told me just the personal things that Kevin Durant did during some of the wildest weather in their history for his people. And people didn't get an opportunity to see that. They generally swept over the things. But I just really would just love to see us do things for us and us affect our people directly. I think LeBron has had an opportunity to show that more, because where he's from is mostly us anyway. So even if they try to whitewash that, they can't. So what LeBron is doing right now is leading the way, you know, for other people like him to do it.
All right, it's David Banner, hip hop legend, and for more, just like what we're hearing, but with a hip hop twist. Check out his latest album, The God Box. It's great, and definitely check out his stuff. So, David, man, we appreciate you joining us on The Odd Couple. Let's you and I talk soon, man, for real.
Hey, man, anytime, man, and I appreciate what you're doing, and I'm proud of you, man. If I can assist y'all in any way, both of y'all, let me know. And if they want anything from me, they could just go to davidbanner.com.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
We are excited to bring in our next guest. He is a sports marketing legend. It is none other than Sonny Vaccaro. Sonny, welcome to The Odd Couple.
Well, thank you for having me on. And Mr. Ponies, it's nice to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you. God, that's the godfather right here, boy.
and you are a learned and good man.
I know
all of you for a lot of years. I mean that. And when Robert told me you were on with Chris, that made me smile. That's good.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Vaccaro. I appreciate that.
Well, Sonny, it's great to have you on. And you said recently, you know this shoe game obviously as well as anyone, better than anyone. Zion Williamson, you said this is going to be the biggest race for a player in history, in shoe history. Bigger than LeBron James, huh?
Well, you know, Chris, if you look at it, you know, now it's like later than when I made that statement. A lot of things have happened that I think weren't in front of the public at that time. And one of them was, you know, this lawsuit between agencies right now. And Alden, you're a professional, you've been around. Anytime something negative happens to somebody positive, it puts a thought in your mind. And so I'm saying that he's going to be, yes, I'll still stick by that, because he's going to sell shoes, and the public doesn't give a damn as long as you do exactly what they thought you were going to do. But this little blip on a radar screen wasn't good for anybody, and certainly wasn't good for Zion. And the other thing was, in this particular draft, and when I made the statements, I'm not backing down. He's going to sell shoes. He's a wonderful person. I just watched an interview. I mean, I've watched him for a long time. He has all the attributes that someone that goes out to the public and sells a product should have and does have. But right now, gentlemen, I'm a little leery of where he was drafted, Chris, and Alden, because I would have thought in the old days when it wasn't this big, and it certainly wasn't this big with LeBron, because it was a different story. In the old days when they only had, you know, that lower team, like the Knicks with Ewing 99 years ago, they sort of knew that that team was going to get, you know, that player. We all sort of knew. I'm not running from your question, Chris, but I want your public to understand what I'm saying here. In today's society, you know, and just looking at the math, because everything's analytics, old, and everything today, they put a number to the damn thing, yes. And they try to figure out, well, the little Italian kid from Pittsburgh figured out, well, there's three or four teams now that got that same number that New York has with, you know, better records, better whatever. They could win. In that group of so many that could, Chris, you had some cities that I would, on a marketing side, nothing to do with what can happen at that, you know, the player and everything else. But on the marketing side, you really didn't want to end up on some of those cities as opposed to New York City. Now, you can be an athlete and go to one of these franchises and win championships. We just saw it, you know, 2 weeks ago.
Right.
That can happen. You surround yourself. But that's a team effort. That's something that you win. You're not selling product then. You're selling your ability to make a champion for your team. But product, and what I'd like to make a point, Chris, and I haven't said this publicly, only since last night, is the one thing that I've learned since 84 with Michael was, you know, going to Chicago, you know, that was a fluke. The whole thing was a fluke. No one ever thought, including Sonny Vaccaro, it would be what it is all these years later. But I do know today that when you go to New York, you go to Chicago, you go to L.A., they have stores there that are now selling merchandise they didn't sell. You couldn't walk off the street in Marshalls in Chicago and buy Jordan shoes in 84. You couldn't. You were buying team things, and kids were going into whatever store it was, but there weren't a lot of them. If you would have been drafted in New York, hypothetically, or Chicago, or whatever, what they have today are the Omega stores. And we also have the NBA store. You also have the Nike store, the Adidas store, the Reebok store. I mean, so in that portion of my bidding for him, I got to say the numbers don't add up for me. Numbers of what? Access to getting the shoes. Now, kids are going to run out. There's going to be mail orders or whatever hell they do today. But I'll tell you what.
So New Orleans is not the greatest market for him to be in to sell the shoes, what you're saying.
What I'm saying is, Chris, and I'll finish with it. New Orleans or Memphis, the team will come in second. Great cities. Everybody, you know, we all have relatives there. We all respect everybody there. My point here is you can't walk in New York in those big-time stores, and you all have money when you walk in those stores. You know what's walking into Berghoff Goodman, you know, without some money, or the Nike store or the Reebok store? They all have money. They're tourists. You go visit someplace because you have money. You're a tourist. You don't go visit someplace if you don't have money because you can't afford to get to that place. I hope I didn't insult anybody, but I just think, Chris, it's a little different tone to what it was 5 weeks ago.
Okay. Sonny, there's talk that he might sign with a Chinese brand. What would that do to his brand itself?
Well, I'll tell you what it would do. He'd make more money today if they did, because the Chinese people, and I believe you're right on whoever told you, I think the Chinese people are involved in this foreplay right now, Odin. I think there's another bidder. And what I said publicly and to other people before this even happened, the way it turned out, is they need another bidder other than Nike or Adidas. Now, Under Armour was no do it. Puma's like, they did a couple last year. You know, the guy at New Balance made a brilliant sign there with our guy up there. But you need somebody to make the other two behemoths, like, want to pay something.
Yeah.
Who can have more money than somebody in Europe and probably the Chinese today? I don't think they'd sign her, but they'd make the other two American companies sweat.
How much pressure is there on Nike to get Zion precisely because he blew out their own shoe?
You know, it's more than that. Here's an analogy from Sonny to your public out there, okay? You know, Adidas had a chance, because I was involved, with LeBron James. If Adidas would have given LeBron $100 million instead of the $70 million in catch-up money, you know, for the contract, that I had told LeBron personally, with the power of saying that from the owners of Adidas, I didn't just make up a number and tell somebody to get a number, they said they would do it. Now, they didn't do it. Nike got him, because I don't believe, you know, the people representing LeBron or LeBron himself told him. Nike won with 90. Okay, let me just say, right there, Adidas has had good players, and they got a great one right now, Jimmy Harden. There's no question about it. And Derrick Rose would have been in the Hall of Fame, God forbid, but the kid got hurt. He was selling shoes. But you know what? They're not personalities. Just so we understand, they can sell shoes. They do. They're great at that. But they're still not this magnetic person. Now, this kid and LeBron James were magnetic, are magnetic, okay? And LeBron overcome, you know, he come from high school and did what he did. This guy had the benefit of TV every damn night of the year because of Duke and playing on. And I'm watching 77 games the Duke played this year between yesterday's draft and, you know, 2 days ago. What I'm saying to you here is Adidas, they have one chance to overcome the biggest mistake I think they ever made. Now, that doesn't mean they're not successful. They're very successful. They sell shoes, and Jimmy sells shoes, and, you know, the other Norses. But it's nothing like Nike. Nike owns the world. Why Nike won't let it happen? Because Phil Knight, I don't agree with Phil, but in a lot of things, okay? But I respect what the hell Nike has done, because I also am a part of it and I'm proud of it. But what they won't do, I don't believe, is they don't want to lose 2 points or 5 points of marketability and selling shoes to any of these people. Because Jordan sells more than all the other people. I mean, and Jordan's their own brand inside the brand. So I think it would have come down to, you know, Adidas, and I would have hoped in my mind and wanting this kid to get a zillion dollars personally, you know, make somebody pay. But I would hope that Adidas, there's not going to be another Zion in the next tomorrow morning. It took, what, 14 years or 15 years? Right. For, you know, that's, these things only happen once in, you know, like a decade at the most. I mean, it took Michael, and it really didn't change. We, and Alden, you were, now you're in play. We saw great, you know, Grant Hill got a good thing. A couple guys got a good contract. But Kobe really was the definer from Michael, if you want to be honest. Yeah. Kobe coming out of high school was similar to, although without more mass media than, you know, LeBron did. But my point is, it takes time for this stuff, and guys are special, and Williamson is special.
It's the iCouple. We're joined by sports marketing executive Sonny Vaccaro.
Hey, Sonny, I coached AAU on the AAU circuit, and Zion was on our circuit.
Oh, and, my God.
Yeah, and so I know there's, you know, it's slightly like he has that history, but you mentioned Nike and Adidas and the fact that they need a third shoe company, so to speak. Now, could he – actually, my question was more when – it's kind of like a crazy question, like with the oh, my God, I forgot my damn question.
Could he do his own shoe?
Or? Yeah, could he do his own shoe? Yeah, it was based on that. Could he just say, you know, like, because, I mean, LaVar Ball kind of showed a little blueprint of what guys could do, you know, even though I would have taken the money and then done my shoe. But could Zion do something like that?
Well, he couldn't have taken the money and did his shoe because they wouldn't have given him his shoe if he took the money from Nike, because Nike wouldn't have let him do that. So, but saying this to you, I totally believed in what LeVar Ball did. I didn't know the father, you know, and everybody else was going to screw everything up. You know, what they had going for themselves at that time and going to the Lakers, you know, that was a great idea. But I would, if I were somebody today, if I had $100 zillion, and a lot of people have $100 zillion today, Alden, they can do this, okay? I would market, I would bet on Zion. All he has to do is maintain his personality. He's very, very good. Now, I'm not going to get into an argument, he's even one of the greatest players in the world. In marketing, all you have to do is be the one loved the most. Or you got to be Michael, because Michael wasn't loved the most. Michael was, he was the epitome, because you know, in a world listening to this, Chris, your show tonight, before Michael, there was Magic and you know, Larry and Julius. Julius was like, you know, Michael before Michael.
Right, right.
And they used to have, in those days, the back cover of Sports Illustrated was the marketing of an athlete. That's why what Nike did, especially with Spike to lead the dang thing in those Nike commercials, and Michael doing that one with the, you know, the jump man, and I mean, all those things added to his personality.
Sonny, we got 30 seconds left, and I want to ask you about this. How are Jordans – how? I mean, they're still selling like hotcakes.
Incredible.
Kids that never even saw him play are wearing them. Like, they're, to me, I think they blow away all of the players today, right? LeBrons and Durants and Kobe's and all that. Is that accurate? And why do you think the Jordans have become such a phenomenon still?
Why do we all know who's on Mount Rushmore? There's only four of them up there, right? Or four? I apologize.
Four.
I'm saying that's the reason. Michael overcome everything in one's life, and still was aloof and different. Michael's a very different person, okay? But you cannot take away his greatness, his ability to communicate. And there's only two things to communicate. A very gregarious, outgoing, intellectual person who can really sway you like an actor, or a guy that can do something better than anyone's ever done anything.
Yeah.
And that's what I. That's why Michael, you know, your grandchildren are going to buy Jordan 2.
They're going to be $700 by that point, but you're right.
Well, they may be getting a bargain by then.
Right, right. Ooh. Well, Sonny, great stuff, man. We appreciate your time. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Sonny.
Thank you. And Olden, God bless you, and continue coaching those kids. I firmly believe in AAU, as you know.
Thank you.
But good luck, and thanks, Chris. Thanks a lot for calling.